In 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. If you want to say, well, you know, I'm using the term grace giving, but, you know, if you want to say, well, how does God want me to give? He wants you to be a cheerful giver. If getting you to pull out your wallet and take $2 out and put them into the offering makes you cringe inside, God does not want your $2, okay? He wants you to be a cheerful giver. If you're like, hey, God has blessed greatly, and wow, I can give this amount this week, and you can do it cheerfully, that's what God wants. He wants us to be cheerful givers, being reluctantly. That church, that's all they ever talk about is money. Money, 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 money. I'd say, okay, I'll put something in the plate there. He doesn't want us to give out of compulsion. Just so you know, and I think I mentioned this later on, I, Lord willing, will never know how much you give. I don't want to. Because I, you know, I try to be a good and godly man, but I don't want to lie to myself and say that I am, you know, good enough that if I know that one person is giving $1,000 a year and someone else is giving $10,000 a year to the church, that I'm not going to pay more attention to that person that's giving $10,000. It doesn't matter. We are all to give as we are able to give, not out of compulsion, not to be able to get any glory. You know, no one's going to be standing, you know, we're not going to be saying, hey, Todd, come on. Does everyone want to know how much Todd gave last week? Although if he gave enough, I might be open to that. No. But I do not ever, ever want to know about who is giving what. Grace giving means we are not under the tithe. Grace giving means giving where you're fed. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, it says, let the one who has taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. That doesn't mean me particularly, but it means with the church. The reason for this is that there are so many things we can give to, okay? I know that my wife and I, we sponsor a child through Compassion. There are, you know, numerous ministries that we give to that we want to support the work that they're doing. But for Christians, our first priority for giving needs to be our local church. It needs to be the place where we're being fed. And then if the Lord's leading us to say, oh, well, hey, I want to support this Christian college or seminary, or I want to support this ministry of this evangelist, or I want to support this outreach ministry, do it the same way. Grace giving, not under compulsion, not under requirement, but you're giving out of grace. You're giving with a cheerful heart. But we need to make sure that, you know, we're giving to the place where we're being fed. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Again, it's simply saying we need to take care of the place where we're being fed first and foremost. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So the idea here is that those people that God has called to be our spiritual leaders, we need to make sure that we are taking care of them, meeting their needs. You know, you don't go and have a laborer out there working hard in the field, and then they don't even get, you know, any of the, you know, benefit from that. 1 Corinthians 9:7 says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? So it's saying, hey, if you are planting in the vineyard, you get some of the fruit from the vineyard. If you're taking care of the flock, you get some of the milk that comes from that. Again, it's the idea that we should first make sure that we are giving where we are being fed at. Support other ministries. Do that. I do that. I encourage you to do that. But first of all, you want to take care of your local church where your needs are being met. Grace giving means giving what you can. In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." And I love this. The Macedonia, people in Greece and Macedonia will argue over this, but Macedonia was generally just northern Greece. Alexander the Great was originally from Macedonia. Churches that were in that area, there was a famine going on throughout much of the Roman Empire. The church in Jerusalem especially was suffering and struggling. These people, even though they themselves were struggling, they gathered up all that they could to give to Paul to take back to that church. So the idea is that they were giving not out of their abundance, but they were giving what they could. They weren't saying, "Okay, well, Lord, okay, I've paid my mortgage, paid my utilities, got food, money set aside for food, paid my car payment, paid my car insurance, my homeowner's insurance, my HOA." That's a Florida thing. I mentioned HOA, just like, what? Homeowners Association. It's a big thing in Florida. I've got this, and then, I got to set aside some money for our vacation. We're doing a cruise this summer. Oh, and I got to send some money to my kid in school. Oh, hey, I got $20 left here. Let me put that in the offering plate. Now, these people, they gave what they could, even when they did not have a lot of extra. They gave what they had to give, and they were blessed by doing that. It says in end of verse 2, "And their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." They were giving beyond their ability. Now, let me say this, because, there are some churches out there that shall remain nameless that will go out there and they'll preach, "You give everything and, the Lord will bless you back 100-fold. And that is not biblical. That is not. Can't God bless us 100-fold? Absolutely. But if you are sitting there and you're like, "Hey, I don't have, I'm on a fixed income and I've paid all my bills for the month and I've got $50 left over to pay for food from today until I get my check the first of next month. Oh, I need to give that, put that $50 into the offering plate, and then God will, God will miraculously, give me twice that." Please don't do that. Please don't do that. We want you to give to support the church. We want to encourage you to give as the Lord leads, as you can give cheerfully. But we also want you to give wisely. We don't want anyone, God is not a genie. You did not rub your Bible 3 times and he grants you, your wish. No, he wants for us to give. He wants us to give wisely. And if you feel like, hey, you've got $50 and you feel like, "Lord, I'm gonna give $10 of that." If that's what you feel comfortable with and you can do that cheerfully, that's great. But just please don't ever expect that you're going to give in order to get something in return. That's not how God works. Grace giving means giving according to your prosperity. In 1 Corinthians 16, it says, "On the first day of the week, each of you is to set something aside and save in keeping with how he is prospering, so that no collections will need to be made when I come." So what Paul is saying, and remember, this was a different type of a culture back then. You got, maybe you're a farmer or a shepherd or something like that, or maybe you were in town and you had some sort of a shop, but you didn't have the banks and things, and you didn't have ATMs. So it's saying, hey, as you have a little extra, put that aside so that whenever Paul comes, instead of having to go around knocking, "Hey, Bob, Debbie, come on out here. Paul's here. Whatever you got to give for the..." You say, no, set aside money now. And I think the idea here is plan what you're going to give. If you budget your money and you can say, all right, every month we give to. Christy and I, we support a ministry We have a friend of ours just started this ministry within the last year where he gives churches sabbaticals, because there are churches, and you know, I'll talk to Cindy later on. She can tell me about here, but I know I was at a church recently before we left Florida where my friend was at, and the pastor had been there for, I believe, 28 years without a vacation. And what happens is my friend's ministry comes in. He'll come in there for 6 to 8 weeks so that the pastor can take time off. Now, the church has to agree to pay the pastor while he's gone, because my friend who comes in, he doesn't cost the church anything. He raises support through people like Christy and I so that he can come in. The pastor is able to go away, take a break. Get away, be refreshed, be recharged, be renewed so that they can come back. And one of the rules is the pastor who's on break cannot use that time to look for another church job. And the church, while the pastor's on break, cannot use that time to bring in possible new candidates, okay? So both sides are saying, okay, we're gonna protect the other one. We love you, but we want you to be able to take a break. And my friend steps in there. They actually bought an RV, and they travel around the country. They're up in Pennsylvania right now. But give, prepare to give. So Christy and I, every month, we know on this date, this payment automatically goes out to support the ministry of our friend. We know this amount goes out automatically to support the ministry of compassion. This amount goes out. So think about what you want to give, what you feel comfortable with giving, and make plans for that. Grace giving means thinking carefully about our giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, it says, "And not only that, but who was chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is ministered to us by the glory of the Lord himself, and to show their ready mind, avoiding this." All it's saying is, you know, that the Apostle Paul, he had people traveling with him to carry this gift back to Jerusalem so that they could be sure it was going to the right people, it arrived there safely, Lord willing. And they, you know, the Church of Jerusalem would be blessed with that gift. Think about where you're giving your money, okay? If you ever talked to, you know, my grandparents, they would listen to all these, you know, radio and TV preachers, and they would be like, oh, if I just give to this person, I'm going to get all these blessings. And no, if anyone is telling you that, you know, you give to my ministry, and that is not of God. You know, we are all to encourage people in giving, and it's great to support ministries. But we have to be mindful of the ministries we're giving to. Ask ourselves, is this ministry preaching a clear gospel? Is this ministry, what are they doing? And there's different types of ministries. Are they teaching the word of God? Are they helping the poor? Are they, you know, what is it that this ministry is engaged in? Be wise in where you're giving your money. Goes on to say, Paul's talking about taking the gift, and it says, "And to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." So these people had given a gift, and the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, we're making sure this gift is going to where it needs to be used. With that, I'll say the church budget is coming. Yay! Okay. I'm excited about this, if you're not. One of the things we're working on is, if you're going to give, you deserve to know where it's going. And you deserve to know where it's going to be going to. So what we're doing is putting together information. Once we get to the end of this month, we'll have at least 9 months worth of information so that we'll be able to hand out to you, Lord willing, in the month of April, and say a handout saying, hey, here's what we've been spending. Here is our budget for this time period, so that you can see, here's how much money we're setting aside for church utilities. Here's how much we're setting aside for children's ministries. Here's how much we're setting aside for communion. Here's how much money we're setting aside for tracts and outreach products. Here's how much we're setting aside for church building repairs. You'll be able to know that. You'll be able to give feedback so that you'll know, oh yes, the money I'm giving to the Lord, I know where it's being spent. Okay, again, you deserve to know that if you're giving to support the church, and we owe that to you as the church leaders. So I just want you to know we're going to be making sure that you're going to have that. And again, Lord willing, in the month of April, we'll be rolling that out. We'll have probably during one of the adult Sunday school sessions, we'll have a time just to talk about it after you've had a chance to look it over. Give us your feedback, because you know, you might be saying, wait a minute, we don't have any money on here for, oh, hey, you know, great catch. Nobody else caught that. Let's go back there and tweak it. Or, oh, what is this, you know, what is this money talking about here? And we can elaborate on that for you. You deserve to know where your money has been going to and where it's going to be going to. So the church budget is coming. Nobody's excited. I am. Okay. Grace giving means giving generously in order to reap generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 says, the point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Now, how many of you here grew up on a farm? How many of you here have spent any significant amount of time on a farm? I did not grow up on a farm, but I used to spend time on my grandfather's farm in West Virginia. Interesting place. Every time it rained, I'd have to go out and pick up all the rocks that had rolled down the mountain into his garden. And I was like, you know, there's got to be some place in the state that's flat, but I could never find it, okay? The person who sows, it's a farming term, going out, throwing out the seed. So if you said, well, I've got, you know, 40 acres here and I've only got this much, so I, you know, but I want to keep a bunch of this, so I'm just going to throw a little bit of seed out. If you throw out a little bit of seed, you're only going to have a little bit of growth. If you go out and you throw out tons of seed, you're going to have tons coming back to you. And again, this, I am not twisting the scripture. This is what the Bible says. If you don't like it, take it up with God. But this is not saying, as I said earlier, if you've only got $100 left in your bank account and you have a $2,000 mortgage bill coming due in 5 days, do not think, oh, if I give that money, God's going to miracle. No, that God is not a genie. But God does tell us the principle that if we, you know, he's going to reward us. He is. If we just give a little bit, we'll just get a little bit of reward. If we give a lot, we will get a lot. And notice we're to give generously, all right? So this is not talking only about the number of seeds that we're throwing, but it's saying, are we really giving from what we have to say, I want to give enough to be a blessing to other people? God, in turn, will bless us. Grace giving means giving as you want to be given to. In Luke chapter 6, it says, give to everyone who asks you, and from someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. It took me a while in life to learn this lesson, but my life's been so much better since I did. Give as you want to be given to. How many of you here have ever loaned something to someone and you never got it back? How many of you have adult children who do not realize that they are, the emphasis is on the adult, and they come over to your house and they just start walking out with stuff like, you know, you are not 20 years old, okay? You are not going to college anymore. You are 50 years old. You've got your own family. You do not come through here and go rifling, oh, I need some stamps, and I'm going to take that $100 roll of stamps, you know, and put it in my pocket. It took me a while to train my children about that. That no, this, you are adults now, okay? You can provide for yourself. I'm happy to give to you, but then, you know, how many of you here have ever, you know, just like loaned money to someone expecting to get it back and you never did? Yeah. I learned the lesson finally. It's just wiser just to say, if I'm going to give somebody money, I'm just going to give them money. I'm just going to give them money. Because when you loan somebody money, you're expecting it back, and you get hurt whenever you don't see it. and it hurts the relationship when you're like, remember that $250 that I loaned you 2 weeks ago and you said you'd be able to pay me back on Friday once you got your paycheck? Oh, yeah, but you know, then I had a flat tire and then I had, and my personal lesson I've learned, it's easier just to say, oh, you're having a hard time, you need $250, I'm blessed, I can give that to you, here it is. So that it doesn't affect your relationship negatively. Give the way you want to be given to, all right? Give to everyone who asks you, and from someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back, just as you want others to do for you. Always remember that, you know, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So think, if I was struggling and I needed that help, how would I want someone to help me? Help that other person in the same way. Grace giving means giving secretly. In Matthew 6:1, it says, take heed that you do your charitable deeds, that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Okay? Grace giving means giving secretly. And we're familiar with the accounts in the Gospels. The Pharisees, and if you ever like Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, I can't keep all that straight. The Pharisees were the self-righteous ones. So just imagine, I'm fair. The Sadducees, they did not believe in anything supernatural. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in a resurrection. So they're looking in the mirror at themselves and saying, oh, I'm sad, you see. And the Herodians, these were Jewish religious leaders who were supporters of King Herod, who was not even Jewish, but they were, that was their political thing. And so they, you know, would be at the rally yelling, Herod for eons! Herodian, hey, it doesn't, okay, take it as you will, okay? The Pharisees, though, they were all about self-righteousness. They would have a plant growing on the windowsill of, you know, some little spice. And if there are 10 leaves, they would pluck one of those 10 leaves off to give as an offering because they were so righteous before God. But these people would march into the town square. They might have somebody along with them literally blowing a trumpet. And they get out there in front of everyone and they walk forward and they have somebody bringing this box and they take out their gold, their silver, and they offer it up there so everyone around them can see. Whoa, did you see how much they gave? It's like, you ever been someplace like a college or someplace and there's a building with somebody's name emblazoned on it, okay? God says that's all the reward they're going to get is the people saying, wow, did you see how much they were? Yeah, that's it. That's all the reward you're going to get. Instead, God says, when we give, we should be giving secretly. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean you can't write a check. Okay. It's like, oh, don't, you know. But it just means we don't want to be giving in front of people so that people are looking and saying, wow, look what so-and-so gave. Wow, that is so neat. God has blessed us all differently. Maybe God has blessed you where you're able to say, wow, you know what? God has just blessed me so richly. I'm able to give, you know, $10,000 a year to support the ministry of the church. Maybe you're saying, hey, you know, God has blessed me, but money's really tight and I struggle and, you know, I'm able to give $500 to the ministry of the church. Your blessing will be the same as the blessing of the person who gives more. It's not a matter of the amount. It's a matter of the heart. Are you giving out of grace? Are you giving with a cheerful heart? Are you giving because you want to support the ministry of the Lord? It's not the dollar amount It's what's in your heart. He goes on, yeah, oh, I did that one. Grace giving. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. If you can give $50 with a cheerful heart, then give it. If you can give $1,000 with a cheerful heart, hey, I'm cheerful too. But it's whatever you can give, but it has to be with a cheerful heart. That is the most important part of it. Whatever you've decided in your heart. Years ago, I was at a church. I would help out with the offerings. And we had the little, I don't know what they're called, but the little offering bags. I'm sure you've probably seen them, where it's black velvet. And it's a circle, then it's got a wooden handle on either side, and you pass it along. And so help me. So I'd be standing there, and yeah, I'm trying not to look down, but people right by me, just out of the corner of my eye, I see them. So help me. Every now and then, I would see somebody take their whole hand and put it inside the bag in a fist, and then take it back out. I'm like, I don't think there was anything in their hand. Okay? I don't think I ever saw their hand, like, open and then come back out. It's like, they're like, okay, I want this person to think that I'm giving to the ministry of the Lord. So I'll just put my hand in the bag, but nobody knows. God knows, okay? God knows. And again, he does not care about the dollar amount. He cares about your heart. He cares that you are giving as you're able out of what he has prospered you with. He wants you to decide in advance, not out reluctantly, not out of compulsion, but to do it as a cheerful giver. How much should you give? I don't know. Some people say, well, 10% is a minimum that a Christian should give. No. Now, if you feel God is telling you to give 10%, give 10%. If you feel God is telling you to give 20%, no, give 20%. If you feel like God is telling you you can give 3%, give 3%. It's not the dollar amount. It's all about what you've decided in your heart and what you can give, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. So let us give in obedience. God commands us to give to support the ministry of the church. It's not a do I want to give or not. No, God has commanded us. If we are being obedient to God, we must give. Let us give in gratitude. God sent his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's nothing we could ever give that could come remotely close to compensating. We're not paying God off for what he's done for us, but we're saying, thank you, God. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Let me give you this single grain of sand off of this huge beach just to say thank you. Let us give in abundance. Again, God does not want you to give to support the church if it, you know, puts you on the streets. But God says, hey, yeah, I remember, I used to work for a company called Life Touch doing church directories. And it was rare, but every now and then I'd come across the church. And our program was free. It didn't cost the church a single penny. And we made all of our money by selling people portraits. They didn't have to. I'll humble brag for just a moment. I'll say I was grateful. I held the company's customer service record for the highest customer service scores every year for 6 years in a row, and then they just stopped talking about it because I was, but it was not me. It was that from day one, I said, I'm going to treat these families the way I want my family to be treated. I'm going to put the needs of the church first, and God blessed. But occasionally I'd go to a church and they would be trying to tell me, oh, we can't do a church directory here because my people don't have enough money. And I realized after the second or third time, what they meant was, my people don't give enough money to the church, and I'm afraid if they spend money on family portraits, that that'll come out of what they give to the church. I'm like, okay, you really need to sit down and have a talk with the Lord, okay? People have money for what's important. You know, I would hear people, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, I wanted to give something to support this, but I just don't have any extra money. Hey, honey, kids, get in the car. Remember, we're all going out to lunch after church, then we're all going over to the theme park. Oh, sorry, pastor, I can't support that ministry right now. We have money for what we want to have money for. We need to be wise with our money. But God wants for us to give out of our abundance. And God wants us to give in love. Love, you know, Hallmark makes a fortune out of it. Thousands of definitions of love. Love makes the world go around. Now, my science teacher said it was centrifugal force, but I'll go with that. Love means this, love means that. We've all heard love songs, and maybe some, I won't mention any of them. There's a couple songs that come on the radio that are love songs, and I remember listening to them for years, and then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, what are, you know, anybody here know the, okay, I'm freely admitting this in front of everyone, and I ask you to do it too. How many of you here have ever heard of the Pina Colada song? Think about that song. Guy's sitting there, he's bored of his wife or girlfriend. I don't think it makes it clear. So he's reading through the personals looking for someone. He finds one, responds to it, and it turns out to be his partner. That is not a love song. That is a cheating song where they happen to wind up cheating on each other with each other, okay? That is not love. Love is putting the needs of others ahead of your own. That's giving in love. Giving in love is saying, hey, you know what? I want to support a child someplace else in the world so they can have a good meal, so they can be learning the word of God. And so maybe once a week, I'm going to go and I'm going to skip my lunch at work. Instead of going out to lunch to eat at the restaurant, I'm going to put that money aside. And then at the end of that month, hey, that money that I just saved from lunch, that pays for that. That's giving in love. Saying, I'm going to give up something I wanted to do. Maybe instead of getting that new car in a year, maybe you say, I'm going to save up and I'm going to get that new car in a year and a half so that I can give in love. God wants for us to give in obedience and gratitude and obedience and in love. How can I give? We don't take up a weekly offering here, if you haven't figured that out. Okay, and I applaud that. I remember when I first started talking to the committee, that was something I wanted to make sure we had on the list. If you go to visit, I don't know if it's like that in New Orleans. We'll have to check. If you ever go, anyone here ever been to Williamsburg, Virginia? Okay, you can go and see the old settlement and how people were. You go to visit some of these really, really old churches, a couple of centuries old. And on the end of the pew, it would have a little plaque saying who that pew was reserved for. Greek Orthodox churches still do this, okay? Some other churches do as well. But what that meant was your family gave more than any other family, so you got to sit in the front row. If you were poor, if you were hard of hearing, if you had vision problems and you didn't have much money, you were probably standing at the back leaning against the wall. That's how churches would give for quite a long time. I remember a story of a famous pastor in Scotland, Andrew Murray, I believe was his name, who the night before he started to serve at his new church, he went in and pried all those name tags off of all the pews. And they didn't fire him right away. But he went in there because he said, hey, we want people to sit where they need to sit, not based on what they give. If you want to give to support the ministry of the church, we have two boxes at the back. We have offering envelopes. You can put an offering envelope there into the box, and that would be a wonderful blessing. If you want to give electronically, if you're cool and hip and you got all the technology, go to our church website. heritagebiblechurch.com. Go to the very bottom of it and you'll see this. You'll see it'll say PayPal. And if you don't know how that works, ask your grandkids. You just point your camera at it. It turns it on, but you can give online through PayPal if that works for you. If you want to mail something, some people like to say, hey, I get paid once a month, and so I'll sit down and I'll write out a check then. You're welcome to do that. You can put that into an envelope, mail that to the church. However, however you feel works best for you, whatever amount you feel the Lord is leading you to give as a cheerful giver. Because that's what it all comes down to. If you're giving and you're walking around, keep your money. God wants you to give with a cheerful heart. If you can give one amount or a higher amount, you give what the Lord is leading you to be able to give. I will say that, and I could be wrong on some of this, but I know for the last 3 years, since the Lord took Pastor Greg home with him, the church is sort of in neutral, we'll say. And I am so grateful for people like Cindy and Craig and John and Ken and Alfred and other church leaders who helped to keep everything going. Is Mike here? Oh, okay. I just been trying to put a name with a face and said, okay, now I got it. Okay. And Mike and other people there. And things kept going, okay? If you haven't figured it out, we've gone from neutral to, to high speed very, very quickly. And we've got a lot of things coming up. I'm going to be telling you a lot more about this next week. I'm going to have some handouts. I've talked about Easter. Our prayer is that we are going to pack this place out and have to be putting people outside the doors in the other rooms for Easter. But we're going to have you guys involved in helping with that. The day before Easter, we are going to be having a community Easter event where we're going to be reaching out to invite children from all around here to come out to have an Easter egg hunt, a bounce house, fun things like that. For the purpose of getting, it's not just for entertainment. The purpose is to get them to come out, and then prayerfully from there, they'll want to come back out the next day to celebrate our Lord's resurrection with us and to come with their family so we can get them to come out so that we can share Christ with them. We are looking at doing a vacation Bible. How many of you have ever been to a vacation Bible school? Okay. We're looking at doing a vacation Bible school this summer to be able to reach the children in this area for Christ. These things, they take money. And so maybe you're like, well, there wasn't much going on at the church. I'll cut back. I just ask you this, just pray. Just go and say, Lord, I want to support the church. I want to support where I'm being fed. Show me how much I should be giving to support and give that. It's between you and the Lord. That's it. We will not talk about this, Lord willing, for another year. But that is just giving you some ideas about what does the Bible teach about giving. The church is made up of people who give. Next week, I'm going to be handing out the Easter invitation list. If you, if you didn't take one or if you lost yours, we're going to ask you to write down on here a list of people that you want to invite out to join us for Easter. And next week, I'm going to have some invitation cards that you can hand out to people when you're at the store, when you're talking to your neighbors, to invite them to come out and join us. So think about who you're going to invite. With that, let's go ahead and close our worship and song. So let's all stand, please. And this week, I'm actually going to hit the right button. And Amy Grant's song, Thy Word.